you would, please now turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we want to begin reading this Lord's Day with the 12th verse, and we're going to read down through verse 20. This will be our text for this morning's exposition of the Word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. Scripture says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now let's join together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, we request of you again, as we come to your holy word, that you would give us hearts to receive your truth, to receive it gladly, to receive it eagerly, to receive it sincerely, and Father, to receive it in real humility before your holy word. We, Father, are uniquely aware that we will one day give an account for how we hear. We are aware, Father, that your word has absolute authority over our lives. And Father, as we come to your word, it is our earnest desire. It is our longing. It is the very heartbeat of us individually and as a congregation, that we would truly be people of your book. That we would be people not merely theoretically, but personally and individually. And Father, that as we look at the great truths we find in your word today, we pray, Lord, that they would be for us encouragement and strengthening in your truth. And Father, we pray that it would be for those who have not bowed their knee to Jesus Christ, Lord, that it would be an opportunity for your Spirit to sovereignly move and to woo sinners to your Son, to draw those who are dead, those who are lost, those who are blind to life, to sight, and to glorious salvation. Father, we pray that you would do this for your own glory's sake. And we ask all of this now, in Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this portion of the Word of God this morning, we do recognize that we come to what you could call the second great I Am statement of the Gospel of John. You study the gospel narrative, we are aware that it is structured by seven different great I Am statements. We cannot emphasize too greatly, nor study too in-depthly the significance of these great I am statements. They are a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, of His person. We have already noted Jesus as He revealed Himself when He said, I am the bread of life. He declared that He is the bread that came down out of heaven, the bread which gives men true spiritual nourishment and food that will truly and very sufficiently satisfy the longings of our souls. Later in this gospel, we will note Jesus as He declares that He is the gate by which everyone must go. We will note in this gospel Him declaring that He is the good shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. We will note that He declares that He is the resurrection and the light. He will declare another great I am statement when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Finally, the seventh great I am statement, He declares, I am the true vine. These great I am statements, each of them revealing to us the Lord's identity and revealing certainly His deity as the Son of God. Now, if you look on your the Word of God this morning, and if you're looking on your outline, if you want to make one on the back of your bulletin, basically, I want to divide up this text into three basic heads. First of all, in verse 12, we have our Lord's declaration. That is the great I am statement in verse 12. And then in verse 13, we have their objection. Jesus makes His great statement, and then they object and insert their objection. And then finally, verses 14 down through verse 20, we have what I am calling our Lord's explanation, where our Lord answers their objection which was seemingly based upon the law of God, and yet Jesus explains that He is not in violation of the law, but they themselves were. So let's look, beginning in verse 12, at our Lord's declaration, this great revelation of this I am statement in verse 12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This great statement here, certainly we want to consider its context. Now, congregation, as we have been studying these verses the last several months in chapters 6 and 7, what is the great feast which was going on at this time? Well, it was, of course, the Feast of Tabernacles. All of the people had gone up to Jerusalem. They had celebrated this great feast. They had camped out in tents, the annual harvest ingathering. They were celebrating God's protection and God's provision. And you will recall, as we have noted this over the last several weeks, there were two great ceremonies in this great feast. Do you remember them? The first one was what? It was the water drawing ceremony. That water drawing ceremony was a reminder how that God in the desert, in the wilderness, had provided for His people the necessary water for them to drink. Now, do you remember the second great ceremony? I've stated it several times. It is that great lamp lighting ceremony. It was a ceremony which again pointed back to that wandering experience where God provided for them direction and illumination for the nation Israel. He came by pillar of fire. He came and He gave direction to a people who really had no direction at all. God had led them out of Egypt in the Exodus. He had provided miraculously for them to get out of that bondage and slavery. And yet they found themselves in the desert. They found themselves in an awkward situation. Even the people were grumbling and criticizing at the providence and guidance of God. And yet God showed Himself to be faithful to His people. Amen. He showed Himself faithful because He guided them and He directed them with that light that gave them a clear, direct knowledge of God's will for their guidance as they went with God. This congregation is the context of our Lord's words that He speaks. So we see here the context. Now note, if you will, the claims specifically in verse 12. Look at verse 12 carefully. We note three claims, kind of a sermon within a sermon. We note here, first of all, the revealed resource. Secondly, we see here in this passage the required response. And then thirdly, we note the resultant renewal. So first of all, note the revealed resource. It is found in His I Am statement. I am the light of the world. In the backdrop of that lamp lighting ceremony, Jesus stands up in the temple at the treasury as they were fully reminded of God's blessings of that lamp lighting direction and guidance and illumination. And He declares in their hearing, He says, I am the light of the world. This statement here certainly has already been introduced in John's Gospel. Look back in chapter 1. Just turn back into chapter 1. I want you to note in chapter 1 this great truth about our Lord being the light as it is revealed in these beginning verses of this great prologue in John chapter 1. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of what, congregation? The light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light, speaking of Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So here we have John, as he records this great I Am statement, he has already given witness that Christ is the light. He says that Christ came into this world that He might bring light. And he says that John the Baptist, he pointed to and he testified of that great light in Jesus Christ. Congregation, what does it mean for Jesus to say, I am the light of the world? Number one, it is certainly a statement that declares the necessity of His person. It declares the necessity of His person. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, He is declaring in this statement that He is something which is useful, beneficial, yes, needful, and essential for the world. Him to say that He is the light means that we desperately need light. Amen? He is the light. And just as light is needful in the physical world, light is needful in the spiritual world. And for Jesus to declare, I am the light of the world, it is a statement of His necessity. But secondly, it is a statement of exclusivity. Jesus declares here, I am the light of the world. It is a statement where He is basically saying, I myself, I and I alone am the light. This certainly is a great contrast with all of those religious leaders and all of the Pharisees and the scribes who sought to bring light and bring truth to the people. And Jesus says to this crowd, He says, I myself exclusively, I am the light of the world. I'm sure, congregation, these religious people didn't like that at all. Can you imagine? For Jesus to make this claim, for Jesus to make this statement, to say, I myself, I am the light. All of you who practice religion, He says, all of you who are concerned about the accoutrements and the accompaniments and the activities of religion and the temple and the sacrifices, do you not understand, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It is a statement of His necessity. It is a statement of exclusivity. And congregation, it is a statement of His deity. Jesus, to say that I am the light of the world, certainly rang in the ears of this crowd. That phrase, I am. You probably remember, as we looked at the first I Am statement, For those of us who weren't here, let's just take an opportunity to go back real quickly to the book of Exodus. And I want us to remember the context in the book of Exodus for this great revelation of God's true name. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. This is, of course, relevant because the very Feast of Tabernacles was a remembrance of all of that deliverance and all of that workings of God as God brought His people out of bondage. The beginning of that great work of God for His people in Egypt is where God taps Moses and He calls Moses to be the great deliverer. And as we have already said before, Moses was reluctant. He was not a man who was desiring to do this, and yet God said, "You are the man I have called for this task." And notice in chapter 3, beginning with verse 11, this great interchange between Almighty God and Moses. Verse 11 of chapter 3 of Exodus, Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And He said, "Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them?" Verse 14, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." This, of course, is the great covenant name of God, Yahweh. It was that sacred covenant name which the scribes and Pharisees, they would not even dare to speak. They revered it so holy and sacred and so distinct and sanctified. As the scribes would write out and copy the Word of God, when they came to this covenant name of God, Yahweh, they would take their pen and they would throw away the old pen. They would get a new pen, and simply for the purpose of writing the name of God, they would use a brand new pen and then set that aside. That is how they revered the name of God. And so now if you'll turn back to the book of John, we note here when Jesus makes this statement, can you imagine how this rang in their ears? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." This was nothing less, congregation, than a claim to deity in their midst. They would not even state Yahweh. Jesus shows up and He says, "I am God in the flesh." Jesus' statement here, this glorious revealed resource, it is a statement of our Lord's identity. The congregation, it is also a statement in a very real sense of man's depravity. The fact that Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world," this implies that men are in darkness. Amen? It is a statement that reveals much about man's depravity. Now, we noted a moment ago over in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. Turn back over to chapter 1 of John's Gospel. I want to read a verse there and then a couple of verses in chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 5, before he speaks of Jesus as the light, what does John say? He says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It apprehended it. It understood it not. Speaking of mankind, not speaking of physical darkness, but of spiritual darkness. John says that men live in a haze of real spiritual darkness. Look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, we see this same reality as it is stated again in the interaction of Jesus and Nicodemus. As Jesus here is showing the great man of religion, Nicodemus, truths about his own identity and mission. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse 19, John chapter 3 and verse 19. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." This statement of Jesus Christ is a statement, congregation, which reminds us of man's spiritual condition. It reminds us that men are in spiritual darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. They do not desire the light, because the light of God's illumination does what? It exposes them. It reveals them. It makes manifest before them the reality of their inner soul and the reality of the sinfulness of their condition. Congregation, this is why people will never flock to a church that preaches against sin. Amen? Because people don't want to hear that. Now, you preach a self-help gospel. You preach a message of how to be more successful in your life and how to get along well in your career. And you preach a message that declares how that you can have better relationships and how that you can have a positive attitude. Listen, you can fill a stadium with people going to that kind of gospel. But whenever you preach a message that declares that men are in darkness, do not expect people to be flocking in to hear that message. Jesus says here in this passage, He says, "I am the light," and this implies, it declares, it shows forth very clearly that we are in darkness apart from God. In spite of man's advancements, in spite of man's achievements, in spite of man's arrogance, men are in darkness and they need the light of God. Jesus here, in making this great statement, it certainly reveals much about His identity. It reveals much about man's depravity. Thirdly, it reveals much about a wonderful possibility. When Jesus declares here, "I am the light of the world," do you hear something of hope in this statement? It is a statement of encouragement. Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world. I have come into the world, and I am here in the world to give light." Certainly, what a contrast with that old light they had in the Old Testament. Amen? Think about the light they had in the wilderness wanderings. In the Old Testament, they had a pillar of fire. That was a physical light. Jesus says, "I provide spiritual light." The light that they had in the Old Testament, it was a general light. It was generically for the people to follow as a group. Jesus says, "I am a light specifically, individually, and personally for all who will receive Me." This statement here reveals a glorious possibility. It reveals to us a resource that we all can share. So we see here a revealed resource. Look at verse 12 again. We note a very certain required response. Jesus does not end by saying, "I am the light of the world." He continues by making a statement of requirement. He says, "He that followeth Me." Here Jesus states the response. He states the requirement. He states the obligation on those who would desire to have light. It is a call to follow Christ. Now, congregation, what does Jesus mean in this statement? Well, basically what He means, very simply, very clearly, straightforwardly. He is saying that you, if you are going to have the light of God, if you are going to have this glorious illumination of new life in Christ, you must follow Christ. You must receive Christ. You must believe in Christ. You must trust in Christ. And yea, I will say this, you must follow in willing obedience to Jesus Christ. The gospel message and Jesus' call and requirement in this passage is a call to trust and to turn, to receive and to repent. There is no true receiving apart from a true turning. There is no true believing which will not turn away from the former way of life. And Jesus says, those who will have this light, they will follow me. My dear friend, are you following Jesus Christ today? This is the requirement. He did not say, fill out a card, walk down the aisle, become a member of a church, did he? He did not say, pray a prayer, say or claim a passage. It is a call to faithful obedience in walking with Christ. Because salvation, congregation, is not only a moment in time, it is a continuing reality. Amen? It is a following of Christ. It is a continuing in Christ. Those who would say, I am a believer, and yet they are not following Christ, they are self-deluded, and they do not have the light. Jesus says, this is the requirement. This is the response that I call you to. If you would have this light, you must follow me. Notice, if you will, in verse 12, finally, we note here the resultant renewal which comes. He says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Congregation, is that not a blessed result of coming to Christ? Those who come to Jesus Christ, they do not walk in darkness. They have light. They have illumination. They have the very realities of blindness and darkness and their inherent depravity stripped away from their eyes. And they now can see. And they now have life. And they now can live for God. Congregation, all of this is subsumed in this great I am statement. It is a statement of Christ. It is a statement of our response, and it is a statement of what results when we come to Him. Now, look at verse 13. In verse 13, we continue. You say, Pastor, that's just one verse, and it's almost time to leave. Just hold on here. Just relax. We'll all get there. Verse 13, we note their objection. The religious leaders, the religious people were always ready to say, yeah, but. They were always ready to offer an objection to the sayings of Christ. And certainly it reveals their heart condition. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Basically, their objection was twofold. They said, number one, self authenticating testimony, it is suspect. The law requires two witnesses. You are making yourself your own witness and your only witness. And therefore, as a result of that, your witness is not true. Here again, they are desiring to bring to bear the law of God. They are desiring to trip up Jesus and say that Jesus was not in fact following the law of God. They were wrong, they were incorrect, and yet this was what they were trying to do. They did not desire to follow Jesus, they did not desire to own Jesus, and therefore they merely were looking for a process of getting ammunition against Jesus. This revealed the wicked hatred of their hearts. Notice in verse 14, Jesus gives an explanation of this whole situation. He answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." Jesus here basically says, I know my origin, I know my destiny, I know who I am, and you do not know who I am. You are in darkness. Now, Jesus Christ certainly had many witnesses. He had the witness of John the Baptist himself, who was pointing to Christ. They disregarded that witness. He had the witnesses of so many others who had come to them and had made claims about Christ. They ignored those witnesses. Jesus had not violated the law. They were trumping up charges against Christ. False charges indeed. Look at verse 15. He says their judgment was inadequate. Ye judge after the flesh. Their judgment was carnal. Their judgment was suspect on its face. They did not have a heart for God. They did not have a longing to follow God. They merely desired to try to trip up and entrap the Son of God. How sad, how revealing is this statement about their hearts. And then finally, we note here, His witness is supported by God the Father Himself, the greatest witness of all. Verse 16, He says, "Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." He says, I have the greatest witness that you could ever imagine. I have the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father that you do not know. The Heavenly Father that you suppose to follow, and yet you do not listen to His witness. Verse 19, they said unto Him, "Where is thy Father?" Statement of arrogance and ignorance all rolled into one. And Jesus answered, verse 19, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Here we see the inadequacy of human speculation about Jesus. We see here the very depravity of their very real agenda set against Jesus. And yet Jesus Christ in their midst declares, "I am the light of the world." Universally, and to all who would come, He says, "Follow me. Come to me. Receive me. And you will not have darkness. You will have light. And life that is true life." Congregation, this great statement, look at verse 20 as he concludes. "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." Again, a statement of God's sovereign guiding hand of providence in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Oh, they would have loved to seize Jesus. They hated Jesus. They were looking for anything to throw up at Jesus. And yet God had His hand sovereignly on the situation until that time when Jesus was lifted up for our sins. Congregation, we should look at this great I Am statement, and let us remember it certainly reveals Christ's identity. Let us own Christ for who He is, the light of the world. Let us bow down before Him as He is, and let us serve Him and declare Him, for He truly is the light of the world. My friend, are you here today apart from Christ? Have you come to Christ? Are you following after Christ? Seeking to follow Him? Seeking to obey Him? Seeking to do what pleases Him? If you are not, you are in darkness. regardless of any religion you may profess, but if you are following after Christ, seeking to obey Him, seeking to live for Him, then you have life. A life that is light for all men. Let's bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. Almighty God, we are so very thankful that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We are so thankful that He came into a world of darkness, a world of depravity, a world that groped in a haze of confusion and self-delusion. And He came and showed us Yourself and the way to life. Father, help us that we would praise and worship our Savior as the light of the world. Help us, O God, that we would proclaim Him and we would share Him with others as the only light, exclusively for mankind. Help us, O God, to search our hearts to see whether we individually and personally are following after Jesus Christ, walking a life of obedience and faith in the Savior. Lord, call sinners to Yourself. Lord, we pray that there would be many who would come to an awareness of the darkness with which they find themselves. And Lord, may they run to Christ as the light and find in Him salvation, illumination, and true light. This we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.